The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
The Financial Guys...
Shock the system.
It's time to talk money. It's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930. Toll free 1-800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930. Now, live from the WBEN studios, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle. Mike Lomas will be back next week. Big birthday for Mike today. Happy birthday, Mike. Well-deserved weekend off. Hope you're enjoying some time with your family and friends, and look forward to getting you back on next week. We have a jam-packed show lined up for you today. I have more guests than I can even probably mention, but we are going to be, as everybody knows that listens to us on a regular basis, we take a team approach, and we have a fantastic office full of investment professionals that focus on a lot of different areas. And we talk oftentimes, you hear them on this show about, you know, Social Security or college planning or, you know, state planning or whatever it might be. Today, we're going to talk about and highlight the investment side of the house. And so we have another company called Independent Solutions Wealth Management. We're going to have a number of folks that are on the investment committee talking and breaking down the markets. Obviously, a pretty rough week, a couple weeks really in the markets. And so I thought we would kind of gather the brain trust, if you will, and answer your questions, talk for the most part finance for most of the show, and kind of going through the sell-off this week, you know, the slide in the last couple weeks, and kind of analyzing things. So here's who I have in studio as well as who's going to be calling in. We have new to the team, Mark Cohen, here with me. Mark is a 35-year veteran. He just joins the team this past week. He is out of our Florida office down in Palm Beach, and he's going to be in studio here as well. We're going to have John Thurr. John Thurr is in studio also. Of course, you've heard John Thurr before. Many of you have heard him speak either on the show here or publicly, whether it be at our office or out and about. John is a chartered financial analyst and another fantastic member on the investment committee. Dave Mariocker will be calling in. Dave, of course, our investment guy, and he manages a couple of our different stock portfolios, the all-cap portfolio. We'll get his take. And then, of course, we have Dan Neiman will be calling in. Dan is our chief investment officer, and he leads the investment committee for Independent Solutions. We also have another brand new team member I'm excited to announce, Paul Meeks, the pretty famous tech investor, ran a $3 billion fund for Merrill Lynch in the 90s, was the lead tech analyst for Merrill Lynch in the 90s and early 2000s. Paul was actually on CNBC yesterday on Squawk Box on the street. He's on pretty much on a regular basis. He joined Independent Solutions yesterday, and also will be on our investment committee and joining us in the second hour. So if you have calls or questions, of course, on anything that has to do with you and your money, 803-0930-930 is a free call to sell, 1-800-616-9236. For those of you that say we never talk money, today's the day, right? Today is that day. And so we figured, considering that Mike did an interview this week on WBEN, of course, I did one as well. You know, we wanted to kind of highlight the markets considering the conditions. But before we get there, before I do, I wasn't on last week, so there's a couple things that I do need to mention and just wanted to go through, you know, kind of some of the stuff that's in the media. First of all, hats off to President Trump again. More winning, which is fantastic. The American pasture has been returned out of Turkey. I know he's been working on that kind of behind the scenes for quite some time. So yet another win for President Trump. Brett Kavanaugh, of course, was confirmed last week. I was at a college visit for my oldest daughter. It was parent weekend, so I couldn't be here to comment on that. But I mean, if the Democrats really showed their worst side, I think you've seen it in the last couple of weeks, no question about it. Somebody had made a mention that, you know, the Trump and the Republicans, one of the news outlets, were trying to paint the Democrats as an angry mob. And I just tweeted out, I don't know that anyone needs to do any painting of anything. They're doing a great job on their own in painting themselves with that brush. It just, I've never seen lunacy like I have seen on the left in the last 2 weeks. I mean, clawing and scratching at the chamber doors, jumping in elderly people's faces, knocking down signs. I mean, just absolute pathetic. And, you know, for those that may be, you know, leaning slightly to the left that listen to the show, this is not becoming of the left. This is not how grown adults actually behave. And the world is watching. And I think the Democrats really did a lot of damage. But again, Trump winning, Kavanaugh is now Justice Kavanaugh, not just Judge Kavanaugh. And it seems as if the Democrats just don't know any bottom. Like, there is no depth, it seems. Now you've got, you know, open hostility. In addition to the open hostility we've already had, you've got, you know, Hillary Clinton out there saying, well, we're not going to be civil. There's no time for civility. You've got Eric Holder talking about kicking people when they're down. It's really unbelievable. I mean, what's next? Are we going to get to Bill Ayers type bombings? Is that what's on tap? You know, just amazing. More winning, of course, with Kanye West in the Oval Office this week. Everybody will remember the picture of Kanye hugging President Trump. Everybody in the media, on the other hand, absolutely, again, making themselves look like just fools. I'm surprised that Don Lemon still has a job and some of the hosts or the guests that he had on will ever appear again. I'm sure they will, of course, because it's CNN. But the things that they said attacking Kanye, it's reminiscent of, I hate to say it, but what happens oftentimes in these communities when black folks try to get ahead and their kids doing well in school and they're trying to get out of the ghetto and they get, you know, beaten up because they're carrying books home or dragged back down into the depths of the gang violence that is those communities. This is no different, sadly, on a national stage being fomented by people on CNN and what should be African-American leadership, not, you know, attacking each other. Absolutely disgraceful. I was going to play a clip of it, but I don't even think I'm going to bother. We'll make sure we post it to our social media, our Twitter and our Facebook page. But just despicable, really. I mean, it's just the way that they attacked him was just unbelievable. So anyway, John, thank you so much for joining us. I'll start with you. Thanks. Appreciate you coming in today.
Hi, Glenn. Glad to be here.
So we're going to have we're going to take a whole bunch of calls and, you know, obviously, you know, pretty rough time in the market. So let me get your take first. I mean, you know, we've had you on a number of times the last, you know, bunch of years, but certainly in even the last couple of months. And, you know, one of the things that you've talked about as well as Dave Mariocher is, you know, you kind of were looking for a correction or an opportunity. Is this it? Or do you think there's a lot more to come?
Well, I think it is an opportunity, but I don't think it's over. So I hope that helps. But I think it's pretty complicated, and one of the biggest things that is starting to come out is the dislocation between the U.S. and the rest of the world. This year so far, the rest of the world has struggled, and their markets are struggling too. They're down, most of them, over 10%, while the U.S. was up about 10%. That's a pretty wide span, and as we know, this is a business of probability, statistics, and reversion to the mean, and we're starting to get some of that going on right now. So a little of this is technical, but I think it's not over yet, but I do think it's a buying opportunity because I'm bullish for the next couple of years because there's too many positive things going on.
So I think it was Jamie Dimon this week for J.P. Morgan that said, you know, he's got his biggest fear. He's sounding the alarm on some of the geopolitical risk. I mean, is that along the same lines of this disconnect between returns in other countries, or is there other risks that he may have been alluding to that you think?
I think that's primarily what he's talking about. He also commented that he thinks the rising interest rate scenario is correct one, and he still thinks we can go higher with rates and not hurt the economy. And that's what people need to focus on. Everybody's correlating higher interest rates with a bad stock market. I think what you have to do is two things. You have to realize we've had a good stock market for 8 years because of low interest rates, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we can't have a good stock market with higher interest rates, because the interest rates that we're moving toward, or the level we're moving toward, is not going to be as restrictive as one might think. It's a big delta or a big move, but it's not going to be oppressive. So I think the economy can do well. And if the economy does well and companies' earnings can grow, the stock market will do just fine. But the stock market is going to get rid of a little bit of the bubble. And one of the ways you're seeing that happen now is this is the first time I've seen earnings this year growing faster than stock prices.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing.
Exactly. That's what I mean by giving back a little bit of the bubble, because a bubble was created. It was an asset bubble. It was housing. It was the stock market. It was antiques, paintings, whatnot. And that was because of low interest rates in a weak economic environment. But so everything went toward assets. So now what we're having is we're starting to get companies reinvest in their businesses and do some capital spending and create jobs. And that's part of what Trump's been doing, is getting jobs created. That's going to continue for the next couple of years. So there's a lot more positives going on than just the negative of rising interest rates.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, 803-0930, *930 is a free call to sell, 1-800-616-9236. If you want to text us, the text line is open. It's the it's now the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I will try to remember to say that to the best of my ability, which is 30930, that's 3930, if you want to text us here. We're going to take a very short break. And if you do need us throughout the week, folks, I'm going to mention a couple of things that are coming up. If you do need us throughout the week, 633-1515, 633-1515. Don't forget, on Monday, Medicare season starts. It's the annual enrollment period, which starts on October 15th, which is Monday. We are doing Medicare Mondays each and every Monday at noon. And so you can call the office, ask for Elizabeth if you'd like to sign up for one of those Medicare Mondays throughout the entire enrollment season, 633-1515. Also on Wednesday, October 17th, this coming Wednesday at 6 o'clock, Social Security with Mike Hayflick and Ron Reinstein. They are two of our Social Security claiming strategists. They will be holding a Social Security seminar in our office this coming Wednesday at 6 o'clock. You can sign up for that. Also on October 17th at 5:30, so just before that event, there will be a Hobnob networking event for young investors and entrepreneurs. That's going to be hosted by AJ Witkowski. And then the following week on October 24th will be life insurance, property casualty with Mike and Charlie Sparaza. So how to protect your assets, both property as well as life and things like that. And so if you want to sign up for any of our workshops with TFG Academy, you can go to our website at thefinancialguys.com to find out what the schedule is. You can sign up there, or you can always call the office at 633-1515, again, 633-1515. All right, very short break. If you want to join us here on the air, if you have a question, you want to make a comment, or any, of course, open mic session, anything you want to talk about, 803-0930, *930 is a free call to sell. Again, 1-800-616-9236. You've got the Financial Guys. I'm Glenn Wiggle. We'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, welcome back. We've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lummis will be back here. We've got John Thur in studio. We're highlighting kind of the brain trust that is our investment committee at Independent Solutions Wealth Management, our money management arm. Most of our clients, a lot of our clients have exposure, not all of their money in most cases, but have some exposure to Independent Solutions. It's kind of the money management wing of the Financial Guys. And, you know, those guys, you know, day in and day out, you know, all day long, we always say John Thur as a CFA is one of the smartest guys in the building. So we usually don't let him out of his office. So we appreciate you spending some time with us today, John. I've got another new member to introduce here. And he's just his first time debut on the air with the Financial Guys. And that's Mark Cohen. Mark is down out of our West Palm Beach office in Florida. Mark has 35 years experience, got licensed 1982, right? And has been around the block. So you've seen Mark a lot. Welcome, first of all. Thank you very much for joining
Great
us.
Great to
Appreciate
be here.
It. So you've been around the block for a long time. You've gone through, obviously, a number of different markets, including 1987, right? So 1987, you were on Wall Street, right? What where were you working in 87?
I was working at a small brokerage firm called Morschlei Cameron, Lower Manhattan.
So, you know, everybody kind of equates, even though it wasn't as, I mean, I guess from a one-day perspective, right? But when you, to me, you know, when I look at like 2000 to 2003, 50% route in the markets, you know, 80% route in the NASDAQ over that period of time, you know, 2008, 55% decline in the S&P. How does that differ from 1987? And, you know, everybody still remembers that as, you know, oh, my God, here it comes October. Next week marks the whatever 22nd anniversary of that, I guess, would be. It was the 32nd anniversary, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts as far as, you know, the difference? And what did you experience back then?
Well, back then, 87 was set off by a panic over currencies that was totally unexpected. The thing that strikes me as totally different now, even from 2008 during the last crisis, is we've got a couple new dynamics thrown into things. One, the massive use of ETFs and how they play into things. And the other thing I heard someone mentioning, and it makes a lot of sense to me, is that a lot of this selling is totally computer driven. You know, it's not even humans making these selling choices. Mm-hmm. And so at the same time, I think that creates an opportunity. You know, everything moved down so fast, the average guy didn't have a chance to think about selling. And I'm with John. I think it will probably create a pretty good buy, and I don't think we're done or entering an extended correction or a bear market or anything like that. I just think everyone plays this thing a lot differently. They tend to hold on to their ETFs. They think that they're one and done, but I think what's going to happen is it's not that way. So I think you've got to stay the course. I just think the sell-offs are now a different animal. When they come, everyone claims, you know, well, the market, there's no volatility. Then we have a week like last week, and they say, oh, there's too much volatility. Right. and we say that, and I will, let me just finish. There may be some truth to the idea that the Fed is not responding to what's going on in the real economy.
Well, it seems to me the Fed's always a day late and a dollar short. And
looks like it.
And I know, John, you're always one that, you know, you've been talking about ETFs for a while and the, you know, the danger that that presents from a volatility standpoint, right?
I do, but it's not the ETF itself. It's what I worry more about, and I don't worry about it, but what could happen is these flash crashes. You know, we're in the middle of the day, and all of a sudden there's an order goes off, and there's a problem with too much volume, and there's a gap in trading, and all of a sudden we gap down in a huge amount, and it wipes out a lot of stop-loss orders that are in there. And then 5 minutes later, it bounces back up. So that's a legitimate problem that can cost people money or positions. So I don't worry so much about ETFs. I really don't. They are a way to invest now. They're part of the future, and we have to deal with it. But I think it's so new that a lot of people are uncertain how it's all going to play out.
Right. And I think, you know, to highlight both of you and Mark's points, you know, this is, I think people immediately, especially in October, harken back to 87. I mentioned that not to make people nervous, but to say that this is nothing like that, right? I think you guys both agree with that this is, you know, we have to remember, too, that we're at 26,000 on the Dow, right? So a 600 or 900 point move is, you know, nowhere near what it used to be when the Dow was at 12,000. So, you know, something to keep in mind. Perspective, I think, is really important. All right, if you want to join us, 803-0930 on *930. Going to just take a little diversion here and welcome Elizabeth to the show. Elizabeth is going to plug what's going on with the annual enrollment period. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hey, Glenn. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. On Monday, I know it's about to hit the fan, right, so to speak. So what's going on Monday, and how can people how can we help people?
So Monday starts the beginning of the annual enrollment season, and as you know, things are well underway. We're already seeing people. You know, we can't process any sort of applications or anything until Monday, but people are coming in. This next week is completely booked. The week following, I only have a few open time slots for people to come in and meet with an agent to discuss their Medicare insurance needs. We actually, you know, as you know, we brought in 3 new people this year to try to help with the overflow, and everybody's pretty booked up. So if somebody wants to come in and have somebody look over their Medicare insurance and help advise them on their needs, then call now.
Yeah. So people can, you know, either do one of two things. They can go all over town and go all to these, you know, different workshops that each of the carriers have. And you're more than welcome to do that by all means. I'm never going to discourage anybody from going and, you know, getting more education. But, you know, of course, they're going to talk all about their products and what they have to offer. Our folks are independent, and I think that's really important, right? So they can talk about all the different products that are out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a woman this week who, you know, she asked me what's the advantage of coming seeing you guys versus going and talking to, you know, one of the carrier agents. And I said, you know, you're more than welcome to do that. We have nothing, you know, more power to you if you want to go talk to them. But if you want to save yourself time and effort and come and sit down to some and talk with somebody who's going to look at your needs, your medical history, your prescription history, your upcoming procedures and things like that, and help you pick a plan, an unbiased opinion, then come sit down with one of the agents. And it's a no-obligation consultation as well. So if you come and you sit down and you get the information that you need and you feel you want to go home and think it over and maybe talk to a few other people, you're more than welcome to do that too. So there's no reason to not come in and sit down and talk with one of our agents, because it's no obligation and it's a completely complimentary consultation.
All right, 633-1515. I know you mentioned to me yesterday you were booking something like 3 new appointments an hour. That's amazing. So if you do want to get in to see one of our independent agents, I would call now, or leave a message or call on Monday morning and get on the list, because it is definitely filling up fast, and we're already booking into the last week of October right now. So 633-1515. Anything else you want to add, Elizabeth?
No, it's just the main thing I would add is it might seem like plenty of time to make your decision, because you have until December, but it's really, when you take away weekends, when you take away holidays, there's not that many days that you have. So I cannot stress enough the urgency of calling and setting your appointment now. Even if you want to book it for, mid to end of November, do that. Get it on the books, because that time is going to be gone.
Yep, no doubt. Thanks, Elizabeth. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it.
You too, Glenn.
Thanks. 633-1515 if you want to sign up for either Medicare Mondays or sign up right up for a Medicare appointment. 633-1515. And again, if you want to join us here, 803-0930 and star 930. Very short break. Hop across the hall for the news to find out what's going on. We'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Alrighty, welcome back. Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas will be back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Actually doing a financial show today. So if you have questions on you and your money, or you just want to comment on, the Kavanaugh hearings, the lunacy on the left, or anything like that, of course, it's always an open mic session. 803-0930 and star 930. If you want to text us, it's 3930 on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. 30930. You can text us there. And text came in, Democrats are starting to make Russia look like the land of peace. That's very true. When you see them, just this past a weekend, right? Or yesterday, I think it was, they smashed in the windows of a GOP office in New York City. Antifa broke windows, did a lot of damage, left a note that said, "We're not done." I mean, sadly, when you get, the fomenting of violence from Maxine Waters, from Eric Holder, from Hillary Clinton, they're basically saying to people, this is okay. Go ahead. Go do this. Next stop, Obama's buddy Bill Ayers and police department bombings, I guess. Is that where they go next? Is that where the Democrats go from here? Because I'm not sure how much lower they could actually get without, more personal physical violence. But nevertheless, I digress. Let's go to the phones real quick. 803-0930 on star 930 if you want to join us. Let's welcome Ron to the program. Wants to plug his seminar. Just talk about what they're going to be doing on Wednesday. Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Good, Glenn. How are you? Thanks for having me again.
You betcha. What's going on Wednesday?
Well, we're going to be doing our Social Security workshop, Mike Hayflick and I. We're going to be talking about, and that's the other thing for listeners, the amount of brain capital that is going to be on the radio today. This is one of the few times in my life I never really have questions, because I just listen to the gentleman from John Third, Dave Mariocca, yourself, Dan Neiman. And when you guys talk with investments and what's going on with the market, just listen, because these guys definitely know what they're talking about.
Thanks.
But that's the other thing we're going to talk about at the workshop, too, is we're talking about, the market declines and, are some people saying, should I sell off? Should I, take my money out of stocks and put it into bonds, which has caused this decline? But, now you're going to lock in that decline for, who knows how long of a period of a time. But the thing with Social Security, folks, is if you're going to take your benefit at 62, you're locking in a 25% reduction in your primary insurance amount. So is that a decision that you want to make with a guaranteed source of income for your retirement? So Mike Hayflick and I were going to talk about all those strategies and help, educate you on making the best decision possible for when you decide to take your benefit that you paid into for all these years called Social Security.
You know, Ron, I was meeting with a client this week, and we were reviewing their, you know, they're 60, and they're not quite there yet. And the automatic was, I'm going to draw at 62. And I said, well, you're going to make it either way. You're good if you draw at 62 or 66 or 70. But having said that, when you start to look at the tax efficiency of Social Security and then rolling that or looking at it in the context of your overall income plan is super important and can make the difference of thousands of dollars either going into the IRS and Uncle Sam's pocket or staying in your pocket, in your family's pocket, right?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's a very good point is if the whatever age you do decide to claim, it's like you said, it's your decision to make. We're here to help give you that knowledge. But the IRS is going to be a lifetime relationship for all of us and even when we pass away. But you want to keep giving them more money that you really may not have to. And that's one of the things we touch upon in the seminar as well. Is when you take that benefit, what's going to be your tax, your potential taxable liability back to the government?
Right. And you'll be discussing this October 17th at 6 o'clock at our office, right, at 305 Spindrift, which is the new Financial Guys Wealth Headquarters, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it.
Do the same.
If you'd like to sign up for that workshop with Mike Hayflick and Ron Reinstein, our two of our certified Social Security claiming strategists, you can reach them or call the office to get on the list at 633-1515. That's this Wednesday, October 17th at 6 o'clock, 633-1515. Or if you want to join us here, 803-0930 and star 930. John, back to you as before we go back to the phones. You know, just wanted to you mentioned the Fed. And, you know, Trump made some comments this week that, well, hey, wait a minute, it's nothing to do with China tariffs, which I tend to disagree with. I think that certainly plays a part. But he was knocking the Fed for, in his words, you know, trying to submarine his economic plan.
Yes, and it's been talked about all week. And I think a big part of what happened this week with the stock market moving down had to do with right after the Fed meeting, and the Fed raised interest rates again, to 2.25% on the Fed funds. Well, what came along with that is the market saw the 10-year move from like a 280 up to 323 relatively quickly. What that tells me is there's no recession on the horizon. As so many people were thinking, gee, the long bonds are staying down low because everybody doubts the Fed will move as far as they say they're going to move. That won't be economic information or data to justify a move. Well, I think what we found out was the market realized the Fed is going to do this. It's not data dependent anymore. They're not. It's not Janet Yellen and it's not Bernanke. It is a new Fed, and they're going to what they call normal. And my paper this quarter is about that. What is normal? We don't know what normal is. They have an idea in mind what normal is. I think it's 3%. Because if you look back historically, and you compare Fed funds to GDP, 85% of the time, Fed funds are at or above GDP, and the economy's doing fine. So what they have to be concerned about is being able to take interest rates up to a level where the economy will not be damaged. They're not worried about the stock market anymore, like Yellen and Bernanke were. They needed a strong market because they had no fiscal policies. For eight Right. years, we had not one fiscal policy. I can't tell you how many times Bernanke stood up and said, we cannot do this by ourselves. Now Right. Trump has spent 2 years creating some fiscal policies, creating some plans to bring money back, capital back into this country, to Yeah. lower tax rates, to make incentives for people to companies to invest. We're in a new environment. So the Fed is adjusting and saying, we're going back to normal.
Right, which I think is a great thing because I think for far too long they were way too focused on the stock market and the economy. Let's not forget the mission of the Fed is to create a stable price environment, not to create a stable economic environment. So I think we forget that quite a bit.
Exactly.
Mark, go ahead.
No, I agree with you 100%, John. I just think the pace of the increases have caught some people off. You know, off their game a little bit.
It definitely did, Mark, and that's what I was talking about. Nobody expected this to continue. Everybody thought they're not going to take the punch bowl away. Well, we don't need the punch bowl anymore. We've got right. earnings, and I brought some stats, and I always right. watch the S&P 500 earnings. I cannot believe how fast these earnings are growing. And like I said, this is the first time earnings are growing faster than the price of stocks. So this is a new environment, and I think this stock market should be supported like it used to be supported on earnings and right. sales growth.
With
and
actual real metrics. Fundamentals.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. With real stuff.
All normal.
Right. Normal, right.
Right.
803-0930. Star 930 is a free call and a sell. And you got 1-800-616-9236. Let's sneak in. Who do we have up here? I think Carol it was, right? Is it Carol? I go back to my screen. Hi, Carol. How are you? Thanks for holding. Appreciate it.
Good. How are you? My question is about our 401k. My husband's disabled, and he's going to be 62. Okay. And we were wondering if we take money out of the 401k, do we have to pay taxes? And if so, is there any way we can avoid it or keep them down somehow?
Well, unfortunately, disabled or not, you know, the IRS always wants their taxes, right? So it's not as if you get a tax-free card because you're disabled. So when money comes out of an IRA, it's going to be taxable regardless. The good news is you're over 59 and a half, and so you won't have to deal with any sort of IRS penalty, a 10% penalty for those that take early distributions pre-59 and a half. But I would talk to a tax advisor and just see if there's, you know, ways that you can shuffle some other things around. If you have some non-qualified money, maybe you can take some losses and help to offset some of the gains that you have to take. Does that make sense? Carol, if you need us throughout the week, call us at the office, 633-1515. We have tax professionals that are in the office that can certainly get more specific on your personal circumstances, okay?
Okay. They will do it on the phone or?
What's that?
Will they do that over the phone? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most of the time, yeah. I mean, I don't think you need to come in. I think it's probably a pretty straightforward question. But call the office on Monday at 633-1515, and you can either ask for one of the investment professionals there or one of the tax professionals. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. 803-0930, *930 is a free call to sell. 1-800-616-9236. I want to sneak in Dan Neiman, who's on the line. He is our chief investment officer and kind of leads up the investment committee. And I know he's kind of between, I think, volleyball games today, right? You're running some tournaments out there, are you, Dan? Dan, do we have Dan? Dan, are you there? I can't hear him. Can you pot him up? Dan? All right, we'll go ahead and put Dan back on hold. Danny there? No Dan. Jason, see what you can do to find Dan there. Let's bring on one of our other, if you can actually cue up the walk-in music for Dave Mariocker, if you've got some Johnny Cash around there. I've always got to do that for Dave Mariocker. Dave Mariocker, Mark, you don't know. You'll meet Dave. But Dave is our resident man's man in the office, right? This is a man who literally chops down his own wood, makes his own furniture, makes his own clothes from the animals that he kills. I've never seen anything like it. So Dave Mariocker has been a friend of mine for over 20-some years, 24 years I've known Dave, and he's been with the firm and on the investment committee for, at least a half dozen years or so. So, Dave, how are you? Where's my walk-in music? Frank?
Thanks for having me on. Good.
There's no, wait, hold on, Dave. I got to have walk-in music for you. There we go. You got to have the right music for you, Dave, because it just doesn't work otherwise. All right, perfect.
Smoke, Andy.
All right, now, Dave Mariocker, our investment guy. Thanks for calling in, taking some time out this afternoon, Dave. Appreciate it. All right, you can kill the music now, Frank. Right on top of things. All right, Dave. So obviously you've been you're in charge of our all cap growth portfolio, which is one of our top performing portfolios this year and hitting over the last 12 months. You're way into, I think, the 20% range, which is phenomenal. Obviously a pretty big correction this year in a lot of the stocks and names that you follow. You know, some of the big players, the Netflix, the Amazons. You know, what's your take? And you've been actually on the show pretty much every other week for a long time, and you've been hoping and looking for a correction.
You're right, Glenn. I know it sounds odd, but it's an enormous relief, and I hope it goes down farther for a number of different reasons. John was referring to a number of different things about balance sheets, things like that, or future earnings. But I'll say hello to Mark and John. I haven't seen John in a bit, but things were just too easy, and stocks were going up too fast. So this is a relief, and I'm looking for another 5-7%. Hopefully we'll get it. I know that sounds odd, but I think that'll prolong. If we get that, that'll prolong a bull market, which we've been in since really the middle of 2009.
Go ahead, Dave.
Glenn?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's several things. Nobody really consistently can predict the market. I was fortunate enough to work with a lady and manage money with her. She started in 1918, and she never stopped investing. When I met her, she always would say, if you're going to get into the stock market, plan on to lose money. Afford to take a loss. Don't go on margin, and don't ever try to predict the market. But she would always say it. And I manage her foundation today, and we're going on over 20 years, and we have significantly more money today. And I basically follow a lot of her tutelage and her wisdom. And it was really helpful throughout the years. And you know as well as I and John and Mark there probably even more so, of all the years gone by in the mess that we've been through at different times. So this is going to be another one. And I agree with John. I don't think we're done going down.
Yeah, well, I think when you saw a little bit of a bounce yesterday, right? So I think some opportunists coming in and buying on the dip. What would you expect on Monday? I know you obviously don't have a crystal ball, but I mean, are you thinking that we got more selling this week? Are you thinking that it's coming in the next couple of weeks? I mean, do you see a little bit more of a recovery? I mean, I like the range that we're in. We're not outside. I always look at trends, right? So I'm more of a chart guy, as you know. And I always kind of look at the channels of certain things. I know it's something you do as well, Mark. Yeah. And to me, for the broader markets, we're still in that channel, right? We're still within that normal range, and potentially we'll test out low again. But what do you expect investors to experience in this coming week, and especially on Monday?
More volatility, more backing and filling, and hopefully a decline into the 3 and 5 to 9%, maybe even a total of 13%. I know it'll be painful, but it's just the way it's good. And if it doesn't happen and we rebound quickly, then I think we'll get continued more volatility and sharp up and sharp down.
Glenn, any names that you're watching in particular, Dave, that you'd like to pick up if we get another, say, 5%?
Glenn, I want to say something, and you know this. When Mr. Trump announced, on air, I predicted his victory. Mm-hmm. I not only predicted his victory, I predicted that Dow would go to 30,000. I allowed an 8-year term on the 30,000. To me, we're at 26 and change. We got to 26,000 too fast. And that's why you're seeing this. And you can, there's a number of different technical reasons and the Fed getting involved and things like that, but the market was going up too fast. I'm going to stick with my prediction. If Trump gets a second term, you're going to see a more protracted earnings in a longer. But as John also, we can't keep doing it alone. The overseas markets have to step in, and we haven't had that.
Right.
Expect volatility. I also expect a between a 3 to 5% return. I was talking mid to low single digits for the year, mm-hmm. and it looks like it might. Fall in that way.
Right.
And as far as stocks, I think in our portfolio there's 22 to 23 stocks. Conservative, I like AT&T. I like UPS. This is the fourth or fifth time that we've traded it. It's not in the portfolio right now, but I'm confident in the range that UPS is in and is caught in, and it's got a good dividend, and I haven't gotten back into it yet, but I'm planning on it. The high beta stocks are being challenged now, and boy, it'll be very interesting to see if they can pull through. And you mentioned Netflix all the time.
Yep. One of my favorites.
So seen Facebook. It ran into a wall as well as. We talked about Alibaba. That ran into the same wall.
Yeah. Well, I think Alibaba, a lot of it's the uncertainty with Jack Ma stepping down. But you're right. It ran a long way in a short period of time, and sometimes that happens, right? So, Dave, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Glenn, I just wanted to say one thing.
Yeah.
I'm standing in Cabela's getting ready to go to a trip to Kansas, and I also caught a 48-inch tiger muskie.
Ooh.
Which is really a kind of an epic thing to have happen in a muskie guy's his tenure.
Yeah, 48 for sure. It's huge.
Well, no, it's a tiger. It's a cross.
Yeah, tiger. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah, and so.
Yeah, 48 regular muskies is average for you, but a tiger muskie, that's big, but no doubt.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, good luck in Kansas. Happy hunting to you.
All right.
See you, Dave. Before I take a quick commercial break, Dave will actually send me photos. He'll sit in the tree stand with his laptop, and he'll be texting me, you know, or sending me messages, you know, via email on different stocks he's looking at, or pictures, whatever him up there. So anyway, all right, we're long in this segment. Got to take a very short break. 803-0930, *930 is a free call, and it's 1-800-616-9236. As we come back, we will get to more of your calls and questions here. If you need us throughout the week, folks, if you'd like to have a review of your portfolio or sit down with one of our investment professionals, again, we do manage money for a living. You can reach us at the office, 633-1515. Again, 633-1515. Don't forget, Medicare open enrollment period starts on Monday. It's only roughly a 60-day period, and so if you are 65, turning 65, or over 65, and you'd like a complimentary consultation of your Medicare plan, please feel free to give us a call at the office. Again, 633-1515. Our very short break. You've got the Financial Guys. We'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All righty, welcome back. Financial Guys, doing a financial show today, kind of an odd thing for us, so kind of new, but, you know, in light of the markets, I guess showing a different dimension of our firm. We talk oftentimes about our Social Security department, our Social Security claiming strategists, or, you know, Jeff Boron in college planning, you know, Tom Canavo, our estate planning attorney, also licensed financial advisor. Abby Gwynn and Women Who Investing, and Jay Blanchard, a veterans program, John Haberstroh and SHIELD program, which is designed for police officers and those in the at-risk professions, and so much more. I mean, we just have a Medicare, obviously, a group health, you know, all those different departments, especially Medicare this time of year. We'll be highlighting that department quite a bit. But given the recent market volatility, I thought what a wonderful opportunity to highlight what I call our brain trust, our investment committee that is over on Independent Solutions Wealth Management. And, you know, those are the folks that day in and day out are you know, reviewing portfolios, looking at mutual funds, looking at individual securities, watching the markets, looking at the trends, and analyzing it and letting us know, you know, as advisors, you know, here's what we're thinking. And they're making a lot of the decisions when it comes to, you know, the different portfolios that we manage. You just heard from Dave Mariacher. He's one of our portfolio managers that manages our all-cap stock portfolio. We've got portfolios that range from mutual fund asset allocation portfolios to ETF portfolios to, you know, preservation portfolios and of course, stock portfolios as well. So if you'd like a free review of your portfolio, you can call us at the office again, 633-1515, again, 633-1515. Let's sneak another caller in here. As somebody hangs up, that'll be your cue to call in, 803-0930 and *930. If you want to text us, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board is 30930. I just got a text in. Love the show. Learn a lot from you guys. Thanks. Thank you. I really do appreciate that. And, you know, we have a lot of fun with the show oftentimes. And, you know, believe me, the temptation was, and my original plan was to talk the entire show about the, you know, the Democrats and the, you know, the Kavanaugh hearings and all that stuff. But, you know, given market conditions, we figured why not highlight some of the brains that we have on the investment side. So let's go back to the phones and sneak another caller here. Let's go to Chris in Orchard Park with a question on interest rates. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm terrific. You're live with the Financial Guys.
Yay. There's only one reason why interest rates are going up. It's in funds. They need to get the interest rates higher because the pension funds are ready to collapse. They can't generate any yield. And I can see interest rates going pretty quickly to 5%, 6%.
You think that high, huh?
Yeah, I really do. Once we cross 4, all bets are off.
Well, let's see. Mark, you want to handle that one? You take a poke at that, or what do you think?
I'll give it a shot.
5-6? That seems a lot to me. I do remember that back in the old Payne Weber days when I was in the wirehouse in the 90s myself. But
same with me. And, in fact, I remember in 82 where you get a CD yielding like 16% for 1 year. If that happened, and first off, I think everything is a lot more managed than we give it credit for, you would choke off so much, and people couldn't do anything. There would be no home affordability would be gone. Buying an automobile would be gone. So I think that's a little bit unrealistic. I mean, I do think things always go farther than people expect them to do, as far as, like, you know, market's going up or down. It always goes a little farther than we expect. But rates, I think the Fed is really kind of telling us exactly what's going to happen. We just need to listen closely.
Right. Yeah, well, I do. I tend to agree. I think that, you know, the Fed's probably going to be pushing to the, you know, the 3-4% range potentially, but I think 5-6 is a little bit much. And I think the Fed more so, not so much for the pensions, I think is doing it again just to get back to a normalcy. Again, you have to remember that, as John pointed out earlier, you know, they had to work overtime to keep rates at zero for 8 years because Obama and the Democrats were, you know, economically illiterate. And so now we have somebody who's not economically illiterate, and that's Donald Trump. And what he's doing is the right things in the White House, and that's the right fiscal policy with lower taxes, lower regulations, and, you know, more supply side economics. So thanks for the call, Chris. Really do appreciate it. And I guess we'll see in the long term, you know, how it pans out. Let's go back to the phones. Let's welcome Dan Neiman. I want to slip you in. I know you, Dan, you're between volleyball games this afternoon and, again, you know, sneaking away to spend some time with us. We've got about 2 minutes before the top of the hour, and then if you have a chance to hold, that would be great. If not, I totally understand, but I wanted to at least sneak you on here really quick and kind of get your comments on things. Dan leads our – he's our Chief Investment Officer for Independent Solutions. So, Dan, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I actually now have plenty of time. I just finished a volleyball game in a tournament I'm playing in. So,
perfect. Did you have a chance to hear that last question on interest rates?
I did, and I agree with your answer and Mark. I think it was Mark's answer. I really think if they go too high too fast, that'll throw the economy for a skid. And, you know, we don't want to go back to where we were in 2008, right? We don't want to see the market decline by 40% in a year. You know, a 10% correction or even a correction like we had this week, it's a natural flow of market activity. Up too high too fast, even going to the extreme of like a 5 or 6% interest rate, I think is just too much. So I think things will slow down and allow us to be in a more normal market environment going forward.
What do you guys fear the most? And I'll throw this to you first, Dan. We got about a minute for the top of the hour here, so maybe we'll table this to the other side. But, you know, think about this question over the top of the hour break here. I want to know from each of you, you know, what is your biggest worry? Is it interest rates? Is it, you know, the Fed moving too fast? Is it trade wars with Trump? Is it something else that I'm not even thinking of? So, you know, give that some thought, and we'll start the other. If you're okay holding, Dan, we'll start the other side of the hour with that, if that's okay.
Yeah, perfect.
All right. If you want to join us, 803-0930, *930 is a free call and a cell, 1-800-616-9236. We'll pick back up with where we left off on the other side of the top of the hour break with Dan Neiman. In studio, we've got Mark Cohen and John Thur. Calling in the next hour will be Paul Meeks. Now, Paul is a industry veteran, has been around since the early 90s. He was the head tech analyst and managed the $3 billion-plus mutual fund for Merrill Lynch. We'll be checking in with him on the other side of the top of the hour. Again, if you just throughout the week, folks, 633-1515. You got the Financial Guys. I'm Glenn Wiggle. Mike Lomas. We'll be back here in just about 6 minutes on News Radio 930 WBEN.
The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money. Financial Guys. It's the Financial Guys radio program. It's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas. Registered representatives with Peak Brokerage Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Now, live from the WBEN studios, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back to hour number two of the Financial Guys radio program right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And if you missed the first hour, we've got more to come. We have our investment committee and what I call our brain trust here, the folks that manage the money on a day in and day out basis that are making the decisions on allocations and stock purchases and which mutual funds and ETFs we're moving in and out of and things like that. And we just heard in the first hour, we've got John Thurr in studio, CFA. Also in studio, Mark Cohen, 35-year money manager in the business. We'll be joined here shortly by Paul Meeks, who is an independent tech investor. He's one of the tech analysts for Merrill Lynch in the 90s, ran a three-something billion-dollar technology fund. And he was actually on CNBC yesterday. I'll play a little bit of a clip of that coming up. And we have Dan Neiman on the line as well. So we're going to go back to Dan. We'll bring Dan back up. We got cut off top of the hour. We had a question that came in on the text line, and so I'll get to that. I think I'll get to that in a sec. But before I do, I wanted to get back to the question on interest rates and just talking about, you know, where we're going and whatnot. But, you know, are there other, you know, the question I threw out before the break, and I'll go to you first, Dan, on this, was what's your biggest fear? I mean, what concerns you the most that could potentially derail this this bull market that we're in?
You know, I think that, you know, I thought about it while we were on break, and I think the biggest fear is not short term. The biggest fear is really long term. I mean, short term, there's going to be reactions to what happens with interest rates, the housing market, unemployment, who the next, you know, who the president's going to be elected, or what's going to happen in midterm elections here in a couple weeks. But I think really long term is my focus. I'm managing investments for folks that have a long term horizon most of the time and are relatively conservative. So the biggest focus for me is really what's going to happen with this transfer of wealth in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and what are millennials going to do with that transfer of wealth as they inherit it? You know, a lot of the talk right now is, you know, people want cheap investments, they want no advisor, and yet it's proven, you know, back-tested, proven, any way you look at it, having an advisor is going to help your investments over the long term. So I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the billions of dollars that are going to transfer, if not trillions of dollars, transferring from people as they not only retire but then pass away to younger generations that are either afraid of having an advisor or will not trust an advisor or won't use them because they're too expensive, that's going to be the biggest test for us in our industry and potentially the biggest test for the market as a whole.
You know, Dan, that's a great point. And I think one of the other things about those, I guess, millennial investors is they're saving, but they're not investing, right? They're putting it in bank accounts and CDs. There's a big distrust not only of them amongst advisors, I think there's a distrust of the market of millennials, which I think is a big impact.
And they're going to be behind the curve, and they're not going to know what to do. And my, I guess the fear is when they don't do the right thing, and that's stay invested in the market. I mean, it's, you know, over the past, 80, 90 years, we've had an 8% average increase in the Dow or S&P 500, right? And if they stay the course, they're going to have more wealth down the road to pass on to their to their kids and the next generations. But if they do the wrong thing, which is maybe pull out, cash in, go into maybe flipping real estate properties, which, you know, has a 10-year cycle, right, where it's great for a couple years and the prices get too high and then they get stuck with properties and have to sell them at a high price. You know, they'll sell low buy high theory. It doesn't really work. But staying in the market, staying invested long-term with a diversified portfolio based on your risk tolerance, I think that's going to be the key to helping that transfer of wealth stay the course over the long term.
And perfect.
If it doesn't, that's our biggest fear. I think that's what's going to derail the markets, you know, in the 10 to 20-year time horizon.
Yeah, potentially still, I guess, take all the air out of the room, right? John, what are your thoughts? You share the same fear or something that scares you more?
There's something that bothers me more, and it has to do with interest rates. It has to do with the central banks around the world. Everybody followed us into QE. We brought ourselves out with using quantitative easing, lowering interest rates first to zero. Then Europe followed. Japan had already done it. I should preclude that Japan had already gone through this before us, but we were the major player that did this first. Europe followed us. Europe is in trouble. Their banks are in rough shape. Their banks are the biggest lenders to the emerging markets. And now Europe is going to stop their QE on 12/31/18. Now, my question becomes, how are they going to get out from under what they've created? We have been able to get Trump administration come in to grow our economy, lower our tax rates, renegotiate trade deals. Europe, on the other hand, is in very, very low growth. How are they going to get out from under QE? That's what scares me. because I think this is what's going to blow up is Europe in the next couple of years. And nobody solved any of these problems from 08. We are still in a financial crisis. When people are crying that we can't take interest rates up to 2.5% and 3%, we still have a problem.
Right. That's a great point, and I absolutely agree with that. I mean, they're not instituting pro-growth policies like the Trump administration is. They're not looking at lowering regulations. They haven't lowered taxes. In fact,
but they
can't. You know, in 08, they talked about they talked about austerity. Remember that? Their austerity budgets. There's been no austerity in Europe.
Exactly. That's
my point.
They haven't
lowered their budgets at all. They're still spending like drunken sailors.
Because they can't stop because their social programs are so great. This could be the end.
Yeah, well, that's what they think. And actually, I think that they're, the head of the European Union, Juncker, I think he actually is a drunken sailor, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm serious. I've seen him several times. Literally, yeah, where he definitely likes to imbibe. There's no doubt about
it. But you know what I mean. They can't lower taxes. Their trade negotiations are not going to go well for them. They're going to be on the other end of us winning, and they're going to lose. So where are they going to be able to pick up the pieces to be able to get their economy to grow, to raise their interest rates? I don't see it. And nobody wants to talk about it.
Well, when the European Union first started back in 2000, I'm on record going all the way back to then saying this will never survive. You cannot take different, you know, culture mentalities and views on money and things like that and try to smash them all together just because of proximity. The Germans are savers. The Italians are spenders. The Greeks are partiers. It just is what it is. And, right? I mean, Mark's over here laughing. It's the truth, though. And you know, it's hard to have those mindsets. One of the very primary tenets of the European Union early on was they all agreed to have a balanced budget. And right out of the gate, I don't think France has ever had a balanced budget, to my knowledge.
Nobody
holds anybody accountable except for the Germans try, but they just, it's like Germany against everybody else. Yep. So, Mark, I'll go to you. What are your thoughts as far as different fear altogether or something that you share with Dan and John?
I agree with John, and I think that Europe has to deal with this immigration problem from the South that they were totally unprepared for, and the costs are just sky high, and I don't know the answer to that. On a more intermediate term basis, what my fear is that are we just, rotating? But I'm a little scared. I look at various indexes, and one of the things I always look at is like the Russell 2000. And of all the major indexes, the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the action in the Russell 2000 tends to scare me. Those are the small companies. They don't do a lot of international business. And they've performed where I thought they would have been great beneficiaries of the tax bill and things like that. They don't seem to be performing well. And the question is, if the market's a discounting mechanism that looks out, so we've already then accepted that we're maybe at the highs for earnings, and we'll have to see. I just hope that they can correct the ship right now, and it's nothing but some kind of a short-term rotation. The other thing I look at is the transportation index, which has also been kind of tricky. Those are usually early lead indicators of a potential slowdown or a continued market correction, and it's just too early to tell right now. I think it's just we have to wait. I'm with the previous, I think it was Dave that said we've got 7 to 10%, 5 to 7% more on the downside. I think that could be potential.
For sure. All right, let me answer this question here. Maybe I'll throw this one to you, Dan. A texter called in. I think a great question. He says, I'm retired and lost about 10% of my portfolio this week. Can you please clarify how market corrections are beneficial? Before I throw it to you, Dan, one of the things I would just say, if you're down 10% this week alone, then something is wrong with your allocation if you're retired, unless you're really aggressive. But, the markets went down this week about 6 to 7%, right? So if you're down more than the broader markets, then something, you're over-concentrated somewhere, or there's something that is wrong with your particular portfolio allocation. And I think oftentimes, tweaking an allocation can help. But, we take advantage of down markets all the time, Dan, and we do so by doing things like rebalances and things like that, right? So maybe you could just talk a little bit about that.
Same thing. You should probably be calling in the financial guys, right, and take a look at his portfolio.
Exactly.
Probably over-concentrated in one area. Maybe it's the area that was down the most last week, or maybe it was one stock that's just gotten beat up, which happens if you have an individual stock portfolio.
Right.
I think the idea is, on the managing models and managing allocation strategies, which is what we do. That's our bread and butter. You can't time the market. You can't choose a day to sell or choose a day to buy, but you can be active on a monthly, quarterly, semi-annual, annual basis. And that is, you know, doing a rebalance every 3 to 6 months where you're actually taking some profits off the table, putting some of that money to work in other areas that are down. And I feel like rebalancing and then even repositioning percentages, so reallocating percentages, maybe moving up a little bit into large cap stocks when they're doing when they've been beaten up, and coming out of, say, international when it's done well, helps you allows you to rebalance and put you in an area that you want to be in going forward. I would definitely say if someone was down 10% and it wasn't because of an individual stock and it was really just their allocation was off, then they should really take a look at, you know, a comparative allocation or maybe pulling some risk off the table at this time.
Right. Some of the ways that we, you know, if the markets usually move a lot in one direction, you know, say 10% or more, you know, we're rebalancing at least once, if not twice a year, but sometimes we're rebalancing a lot more often. And that's the way that we take advantage of market corrections. And I think they're beneficial in a number of different ways. Number one, they're beneficial because it's healthy, right? The longer the market goes up without a correction, the bigger the correction oftentimes can be. And that tends to shake people out of the market when they shouldn't be, you know, getting shaken out of the market. But the other thing that we do is we take advantage of it and we find it a benefit because it allows us to reshuffle the portfolios. And just like you said, Dan, by triggering a rebalance, we're forcing ourselves to move money out of, let's say, things like bonds that have been, you know, flat but really not, you know, horribly down, or maybe some cash that we have, and buy down on positions that maybe we wanted to add more money to but we couldn't because they were at all-time highs or things like that. So, you know, certainly they're both healthy and from a beneficial standpoint, but they also give us as investors and portfolio managers an opportunity to either, you know, add to positions that we want to add to, or pick up some new stocks that maybe we couldn't get into because they were too high that have now corrected, or just simply doing a rebalance and forcing, you know, money from areas that haven't done well over to, or from areas that have done well over to areas that haven't done well, and putting that, you know, the allocation kind of back in order. If you don't have a diversified portfolio and you're overly concentrated, let's say in growth or tech or something like that, well, then it's not very beneficial for you because you don't have any, you know, dry powder, so to speak, to take advantage of the markets or to be a benefit to you. So again, if you need us throughout the week, folks, we can certainly help to do a portfolio x-ray to see what's going on with your particular portfolio. We have some really, really sophisticated software with things like Risk Pro that we can use to review what your comfort levels are, what your existing portfolio looks like, and then compare it to you know, what we have or what we think is the most efficient portfolio to have. And you can kind of take a look at all those different things. 633-1515 is the number at the office if you need us throughout the week. Again, 633-1515. Before we go to Paul Meeks, I wanted to just sneak in a couple of other calls. Let's go to we had a few people that are holding here very patiently. So let me do – let's see here. Who's up on deck? Let's go to Gary and Lewiston very quickly. If we can. I'm blowing off this break, by the way, Frank, just so you know. Gary, how are you? Live on the Financial Guys radio program on WBEN. How are you?
Glenn, we saw on Fox News something about COLA had been set for Social Security.
Yes.
Of course, the Buffalo News printing everything, but the news that the retirees should hear hasn't had a single article in.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I don't know that I would really call the Buffalo News a newspaper. But yes, you're right. We've had the biggest COLA increase, or the first COLA increase we've had in like 7 years. And I think it's like, it's pretty substantial, 2 or 3%. You know, that would be a great question for our Social Security, folks, Ron or Mike Hayflick. You can also, listen in the last half an hour here. We're going to have one of our Social Security claiming strategists in Florida, Denny Artachi, will be joining us, and I can ask him that question. But yeah, you know, that's another benefit, I think, of getting the economy going again, is that, you know, having a little bit of inflation is a good thing. And of course, having it, you know, your Social Security going up is a great thing, you know, for those that are collecting Social Security. You know, that's another way that Obama, I think, really hurt a little bit, a lot of the fixed income investors, again, because the Fed had to keep rates so low because the economic growth under the Obama administration was so abysmal at an average of 2.1 to 2.2%. And so now if the economy is going again, you're getting some inflation pressures, which is ultimately what drives that COLA. So, but if you need more specific information on that, you know, again, feel free to call us throughout the week, 633-1515, and ask for either Ron or Mike Hayflick.
I thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. Take care. All right, 803-0930-930. We are going to go to a very, very special guest. Tech analyst Paul Meeks was on CNBC yesterday. I was going to play a little bit of that clip leading into Paul, but just for the sake of time, I want to just get him right on, and we can do the CNBC. We'll just post our website. But he was on Squawk Box yesterday and is on very frequently. Paul has been a tech investor and a tech analyst on Wall Street since the early 90s, and is really an industry veteran. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate taking some time out on a Saturday afternoon.
I'm excited about the opportunity.
It is a real pleasure to have you on, and I made the announcement earlier, and I want to make the announcement now while I have you. Welcome to the firm. You just joined, put you on officially yesterday, and you'll be joining our investment committee and working with Dan and with John and so many others, Dave Mariocker, Mark Cohen, and we're excited to have you. You definitely bring a lot of name recognition and certainly a lot of media stardom to the team. So thank you for joining us today, and welcome aboard.
Hey, kids say, and they're no longer kids; they're adult kids. Game on.
Right on. Let's talk about your interview yesterday. You talked about a couple names yesterday, before I do that, let me back up just for a second. I probably didn't do your background justice, but would you mind just kind of going through your background and your history, and then I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the other guys, and that is what your biggest fear is. But walk us through your history and kind of your career for the benefit of our listeners, please.
Sure. So I've been a equity analyst or a stock analyst or a portfolio manager or a research director of stock analysis teams or even a chief investment officer going back to 1987. So I've seen a lot of ups and downs, and you learn in both directions. What happened is after I got out of grad school with my MBA in 92, I worked for a firm where a portfolio manager asked me to look into Intel, the semiconductor company. And I did a good job on that project, and he gave me some more tech companies to follow, and it essentially mushroomed. And my sector of coverage ever since 1992, almost by happenstance, has been technology. And most of the 90s, I worked for a firm and lived in Silicon Valley, and so I've built a nice network of contacts. And also, late 90s, early 2000s, I was picked to run the tech funds for Merrill Lynch Investment Managers, which is the investment arm of Mother Merrill, and later in the decade was bought by BlackRock. And so at that time, I started and managed tech funds. There were actually six technology mutual funds in all, some U.S., some foreign, and altogether it was $8 billion in stocks in that sector.
Wow.
That's what probably most people know me for my background.
Well, what an exciting time to be a tech analyst. I mean, the 90s were like the time to be on tech.
Well, particularly with the inflation of the internet bubble, of course, the internet has changed our lives. Here we are in 2018, and some of those companies that were superstars back in 1999 are long bust.
Yeah.
And there are other companies, if you do a good job with stock picking, that not only survived but thrived. Now you think about a company like Amazon, and one pre-internet industry after another, they go in, and what we call here in the Seattle, Washington area where I live, you got Amazoned. And that means that Amazon has essentially taken your old school business model to the woodshed and taken over your business. And so it's been interesting. And, of course, you learn from your winners, and you also learn from your losers. And so as an investor, you have to be pretty humble. And I think that I've learned from mistakes that I've made or things that I've seen in the markets that I'll remember next time around.
Now, you're going to be managing a couple of new stock portfolios to us. You'll be adding your stock portfolios to our platform. But can you talk about some of the different portfolios that you manage just for a minute?
Yeah, so I essentially, for individual investors, manage three strategies, three stock strategies. One is kind of what I'm known for, technology only. And another one is a high dividend portfolio. So I'm looking for companies that pay dividend yields at least as high as that of the S&P 500 or the U.S. market. And then the last one is kind of a catch-all. I call it my best ideas portfolio. And what it is, it's a number of value turnarounds. You know, I do believe in the Warren Buffett philosophy that says be greedy when others are fearful. You know, a couple of days ago, we had a big drop in the market. That shows you that the market or the typical investor is fearful, and you want to be greedy. So I like to have a strategy where I can buy these undervalued situations. Sometimes they're in tech. Sometimes they're not in tech. Sometimes a U.S. company, sometimes not. And I like that opportunity to be a contrarian. So again, a tech strategy, a high dividend strategy, and kind of a value contrarian strategy.
Terrific. When it comes to this past week, we had about a minute before I got to just break for a quick news update. But when it comes to this week, the sell-off this week, I mean, is this something that you were kind of anticipating? I know you've done a number of interviews in the last couple of days, right?
Yeah, I have been anticipating this. You think about it, in the tech sector that I follow, there is actually quite a bit of relationship between the U.S. and China, and obviously the tariff, which is kind of morphed into a trade war, is particularly troublesome for the tech sector. And also, if you think about tech stocks have been up almost uninterrupted since
right.
the trough of the financial crisis back in March of 2009. So you think about it, over 9 years of gains.
Right, no doubt.
Gains in the sector have been bigger than the overall market. And so, yeah, even great companies got a little bit frothy, and at time to time, you have to blow off the froth.
Perfect. So on the other side of the break, I want to get more in detail on some of those stocks that you think are frothy, some of the ones that you think are good opportunities. So stay with us if you can. If you want to join us, 803-0930 and star 930. We're on the phone with tech analyst Paul Meeks, who's now part of our investment committee with Independent Solutions. And we've got John Thurn studio along with Mark Holm. Be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All righty, welcome back. You've got the financial guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas will be back next week, and kind of highlighting our investment side of the house, which is odd for a financial show. You'd think we would do that each and every week, but we don't, because normally this is a show where money meets politics, and we talk a lot about politics and how government policy influences your the economy and your investment portfolio and the stock market and things like that, and sometimes we just talk what we want to talk about. But given the market volatility this week, you know, and I think a lot of the nervousness in the market, we thought a good opportunity to kind of highlight not only some, long-standing partners in our investment committee, John Thurr, CFA, Dave Mariocker, you've heard, of course, our one of our investment guys, Dan Neiman, who has been with us for over a decade and is our business partner and our chief investment officer that heads up the investment committee for Independent Solutions. And, you know, a couple of new partners here, which is Mark Cohen, who's in studio with us as well. Mark is part of our portfolio management team in our Palm Beach office. We do have an office down in Palm Beach on PGA and U.S. Highway 1. If you are a snowbird going back and forth, we have a number of advisors all over Florida, from Fort Lauderdale to Naples, Fort Myers, all the way up to into the Tampa area, I guess just north of Tampa, Newport Richey area, and on the East Coast all the way up to St. Augustine. So, you know, lots of advisors that certainly can help you if you are somebody who goes back and forth, or if you're somebody who's in Florida and listening back. Maybe you moved down a few years ago and you're listening on the internet. You can always call our office. That's 716, of course, 633-1515. And then our newest member here, who is I'm thrilled to have on the line, just fresh off his CNBC interview yesterday, which is tech analyst Paul Meeks. So, Paul, we'll bring you back up. Thank you so much again for taking time out on a Saturday afternoon. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
So you've done interviews for – I've been watching you on CNBC and, you know, Fox Business and all these different places for many, many, many years. How did you get your start, if I could ask, doing interviews on kind of national television?
Sure. So what happened is I started doing a little bit in the mid-90s through a remote feed from a television studio in San Francisco when I was covering tech in Silicon Valley. But the big media explosion came, no surprise, when I was running the tech funds for Merrill Lynch out of New York in the late 90s and early 2000s as the internet bubble was starting to inflate. And of course, back then, everybody wanted to talk about technology, and particularly these fast-moving internet stocks 24/7, whether you're in a deli, you're a taxi driver, or you're on the news. Right. And so at that time, I was asked to be a co-anchor with Maria Bartiromo on CNBC on a show that we filmed from the New York Stock Exchange on Friday night called Market Week. Bartiromo is now the morning anchor on Fox Business News. But once you get into their electronic Rolodex and they think that you're strong, particularly in certain tech stocks, whenever those tech stocks have news to report, they typically ask me to come on. And in the internet world, it's pretty easy for me to find a remote camera somewhere. And so it's really morphed. And over time, I would say I probably average being on CNBC on air every other week since 1995. And I also do a lot of writing, which complements my TV appearances. So that's how it all worked. You could probably sum it up, Glenn, to the inflation of the internet bubble.
Perfect. You mentioned individual names, and that's something I wanted to get to before the break. And, you know, you hear the names like my, you know, some of the ones that are in our all-cap portfolio, like Amazon, like Google, like Netflix. Has the run come to an end? I mean, we, as you mentioned before the break, I mean, we've had a long run here going back to even 09. And certainly, you know, from even just the election, you've seen even this year. I mean, yeah, Netflix, Amazon, they're up like 50%+ just year to date. Do they have a lot more to give back before they make their advance? Or do you think that run is over? Or are there just simply other names that you think are better value or better opportunities in the tech sector?
Yeah, Glenn, that's the $64,000 question. I would tell you this is, yes, some of the tech stocks have come off a little bit. And I did do some buying last week. I did buy some Netflix. It's a stock that I haven't owned in a long time. I also picked up Adobe. I also picked up Autodesk. I already own all the FANGs. And what I would tell you generically about stocks in the tech sector is, yes, we're starting to blow off some froth in those stock prices. Though, to answer your question directly, I think they still have the potential to drop further, so I'm being very cautious. And one of the things I'm looking forward to is, as we all know, publicly traded companies have to show shareholders their financial results every quarter. And we are coming up on one of those cycles. For the quarter that ended at the end of September, all these companies that we're talking about in the tech sector are going to be sharing their financial results and their business outlook probably within the next couple weeks to a month. And when I'm that close to some fresh fundamental data, I would rather wait to hear it.
Right, makes sense. John, you have a question?
Welcome, Paul. It's good to be on the radio with you today. I look forward to meeting you in person soon.
Yeah, cool.
I had a question. You keep listening to the television shows, and everybody wants to talk about how growth has outperformed value for so long. And I know you made the comment that, you know, technology's, you know, going to start to perhaps get hurt in the tariff negotiations here, and it is our largest export. What I will ask is, have you contemplated that? Will value start to overtake growth? Will more money move toward value, or will we stay on track and growth is the place to be?
I actually think, even though I am a diehard tech analyst and growth worshiper, I actually think after long last, you know, 9 years since we've come from the trough of the financial crisis, that value might have its day in the sun. And so I'm glad that I managed some non-tech strategies, because I think there may be some better opportunities in some beaten-up value stocks that are particularly supported by high dividend yields that might be better than some of the tech names. Now, the tech names are always volatile, and on any given day, you know, some well-known tech company is going to see its shares drop 20% on some news item. And so within tech, you'll always be able to stock pick essentially all year round. But I do think that value is where people should see the market transitioning to and better orient their portfolios. So I absolutely agree with that.
Thank you.
I think, Thanks, Paul. I think a lot of folks, they just, you know, it's a natural tendency. It's like human nature, right? You want to be, you're drawn towards things that have done well. And I think, you know, we've always preached against this, but a lot of people have a tendency to want to chase that hot dot, so to speak. They pull up the 401k statement and they say, okay, here's the 15 investments I have available. Here's the growth ones that have done the best in the last 12 to whatever how many months or years, and I'm going to pick that one. And then, you know, that's how, you know, you get, I think, hurt when you come across a market that maybe gets to become some, you know, that has some exacerbated volatility. You tend to, you know, get over-concentrated by taking that approach. We've always preached asset allocation, being a diversified portfolio. And if you're including a stock portfolio in your overall allocation, making sure that not only is that stock portfolio diversified, but it's part of a bigger portfolio, right? So it's a piece of a larger wealth strategy that you may have. And you know, of all the stocks that we're talking about and mentioning today, I will add a word of caution that, you know, please, you know, consult an investment professional before making any buy and sell decisions. Just because, you know, me or Dan or Paul or John or Mark, you know, mention a particular security, you know, obviously we have no idea what your individual situation is and what your risk tolerance is. So, you know, please consult an investment professional before making any investments. And if you'd like to consult one of our investment professionals, feel free to give us a call throughout the week at our office at 633-1515. Again, 633-1515. Paul, anything else you want to add? I know you spent a lot more time with us today than I originally told you. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
No, I just think it's important to, as you absolutely said, you know, make sure that you start to keep an eye on some stocks that have more of a valuation basis than a growth basis. And quite often, stocks can't go down too deeply, even if they get splattered, if they're supported by higher than average dividend yields. And so, yes, that's spot on. And the next time we talk, there will be some messes, no doubt, in technology, and we'll be able to snap some up. I just think it's a little premature.
All right, perfect. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend. And again, welcome to the team.
Thank you.
All right, have a great weekend. Appreciate it. That's tech analyst Paul Meeks, who is now on with Independent Solutions, part of our investment committee. And I know I'm excited to work with Paul. I know Mark and John, I'm sure you are as well. And, you know, we had to cut Dan free, had to get back to what he was doing there. But I know that you know, Dan has met Paul before, and we had the opportunity to meet him a few years ago at one of our conferences, and just glad we're able to put things together and bring him aboard. So really excited about that. So thanks again to Paul Meeks. John, I'm going to go back to you before I go to a commercial break here. Now, we're going to go to some calls here and try to pick some folks up. You know, when it comes to, you know, value versus growth, and I know, you know, the way you manage portfolios is a little bit different. I'd like you to talk about that just for a second. You know, you as a CFA, you know, are looking at, you know, a lot of different things and a lot of different, you know, fundamentals as well as technicals and things like that. But, you know, talk to me a little bit about, you know, how you construct portfolios and you know, some of the things that you offer under Independent Solutions.
Sure. For my clients, usually they have substantial amounts of money, and their most important goal is to keep what they have because they cannot make it back. Most of them are on the verge of retirement or are retired, and they want to protect what they have, but they want to participate in the market. So the strategy I use is designing portfolios that have individual stocks and individual bonds. And that way I can manage the risk a little bit more tightly on both the stock and the bond side. So we can participate in the market and maybe carry a lower risk profile than the market, but try to get close to market returns. So what that means is maybe when the market's up 20% and we're up 17 or 18, but when the market's down 20, maybe we're only down 10 or 12. With stocks like Paul had mentioned, they can only go so low because they're supported by fundamentals, strong balance sheets, growing dividends, cash flows coming out in hand to the investor. So that's kind of what I do and how I try to manage risk. And that's what I do. I manage risk. I don't manage returns. You know, it's just that you lead with the risk that the client can handle, and then with the results come. And Paul was talking about value, and a lot of what I do is value. And what it turns out is I'll buy something that's value, and it turns into growth. Because if you're patient and you don't have a window and you say, well, gee, I got to perform exactly like the market did this year or next year, and you are patient, these seeds you plant, they get mature and grow, And the ones that are mature and get to a stagnant stage, you're letting those go, and you're constantly rotating. And that's why when somebody asks, why do you like a market, or how does a market that goes down benefit us? That's how it benefits my clients. When this market, like, it's like the lake. When the cold water comes up to the top and the hot water goes and the warmer water goes down and the fish, you know, kind of churns up all the bait. And it's the same thing in the stock market. You're getting that same environment. And that guys like us love that because we can pick up some things that were previously expensive. Maybe sometimes I watch things for 2 years before I even buy them. So if I like the company, but I don't like the valuation, if this kind of market brings that stock into value, into a line where I'm willing to buy it, it's a great opportunity for my clients.
Perfect. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Sure. All right, 803-0930*930. If you'd like to talk to John again or any of our investment professionals, again, feel free to use us as a resource. If you think like us folks, again, I can't stress that enough. Every now and again, I'll get a drive-by Twitter or tweet or somebody that says, I can't believe you put it out there. And, you know, I don't know why that seems to bug people, but I guess when it comes to liberals, it certainly does. But if you think like us, you know, use us as a resource. Feel free to give us a call throughout the week, 633-1515. We're happy to do what we can to help you. I'm going to take a very, very short break here. I've got Denny, Rob, John, and Sal all up on deck. I promise I will do my very, very best to get to all of you. Mark, I want to talk about your portfolio on the other side of the break as well. So we're going to come back with about 12 minutes and a lot to slip in, so I'll do the best that I can. And again, if you need us throughout the week, 633-1515. All right, very short break. You've got the Financial Guys. We'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, welcome back. Final segment of the Financial Guys here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Just before I run out of time, I want to thank all my guests today, from John Thur to Mark Cohen to Paul Meeks to Dan Neiman to Dave Mariacher. And I've got one more coming up here. So I just want to say thanks in advance to all the fantastic money managers, CFAs, you know, investment professionals, and each in their own right with, you know, dozens and dozens of years of experience. John, I forgot to ask you before. I know the story, but how long have you been in the business for?
Since 1980.
1980. So yeah. You would be our most senior member then.
Oh,
as far as experience goes, goes.
I did start when I was 22. I right out of college, I had majored in accounting, but I didn't want to be an accountant. And I went cross country for 2-3 months and did a lot of thinking. And I was good at buying and selling cars, trucks, boats, motorcycles. And I said, why can't I translate that into a business? And my accounting background would help. And I ended up at a very boutique firm that taught me how to trade, taught me how to analyze small cap stocks, and went on from there.
Fantastic. And I should mention this, folks, too. Obviously, if you need us throughout the week, call us at the office, 633-1515. If you want to find out any more about TFG Academy, you can call that same number. Also, feel free to use our website as a resource, financialguys.com. You can find all of the lineup of the different TFG Academy sessions that we have. You can also sign up for Medicare Mondays, ask questions through the website. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, @FinGuys. A lot of the stuff that we talk about each and every week, we're posting to both our Facebook and our Twitter feeds, @FinGuys. So, you know, please follow us there as well. Let's go back to the phones. Let's sneak in one of our other, our Southern Command partners, and that is Denny Artachi. Denny is one of our Social Security claiming strategists and independent AHIP certified Medicare agents as well. And he's also out of our Palm Beach office down in Florida. So kind of getting an opportunity to highlight a lot of our different investment professionals today. So, Denny, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Hey, great show, Glenn. Great to be here. I think the increase in Social Security is huge. I mean, 2.8%. You know, a lot of people, our last meeting that we had with clients, we showed them the power of deferring Social Security, because not only will they have more money, but because it's so favorably taxable, get to keep more in their later years in retirement. So you mentioned also about Obama. During his presidency, it was the worst record of cost of living increases, and of course, he decided before he left to stop restricted applications. So
that's true.
Those of you who are born after January 1st, 1954, you have 2 months on whether you can decide to restrict your application and collect your spouse's benefit while you delay yours. So This is very powerful because a lot of people, they don't realize you could live into your 70s, 80s, and 90s. It's not just about how much money you make, but, you know, how much you get to keep. And the difference between taking it at 62 to, say, age 70 with the cost of living increases could be a minimum of 110% difference. So
yeah, it's a huge deal. And 2.8%, I'm glad you point that out. I knew it was in that 2 to 3% range, but that's the biggest increase in how many years, like 7 or 8?
Well, you know, they had a 2% increase last year. It was kind of flat. And the last couple of years of Obama's presidency, there were no increases.
Right.
And the year before he took office in 2008, there was a 5.8 increase in COLA. So if you look at the history, you know, those who were in power, they realized how important this was for middle America. But he thought it was rich people who were bilking the system and taking advantage of it, which...
Right.
The most ridiculous people, because rich people I know, they don't really care about their Social Security.
That's right. It's a drop in the bucket for them. And he really kind of, you know, put his thumb in the eye of a lot of retirees. And I think people don't even realize, you know, what he did, but he did. So anyway, thanks for joining us, Denny. I appreciate it. If anybody needs Denny Artachi again, if you are down in Florida, if you're back and forth a snowboard, or you'd like to just see somebody in our Palm Beach office, whether it be Mark Cohen or Denny Artachi or Tony Oliva or any of the fantastic folks down in Florida, you can call our main office line at 633-1515. Thanks, Denny, and have a great weekend.
You too, Glenn.
Have a good set tonight, by the way. I know you're playing out tonight as well, right? Well, I think I lost him. He's gone. Anyway, Denny will be playing down in Fort Lauderdale, I believe, at Blue Jean Blues. So for those of you that listen regularly, Denny is was a former lead singer and guitarist for Iron Butterfly, as well as Three Dog Night back in the early 90s. So he's in addition to our resident Social Security Florida expert, he is also our resident musician at the firm as well. So thought I would throw that out there. Let me just try to sneak in and clear up as many of these phone lines as I can. I will certainly do the best I can to get to everybody. My apologies if I leave you on the hook, but let me roll through these. I'll ask everyone to get right to their question if they could, and that way we can try to get everybody on as much as we can here. If you don't get your question answered, though, and you feel like you need help throughout the week, if you're concerned about your portfolio or just want someone to take a look at the volatility or do an x-ray of your particular portfolio and see how it might compare to something that we have, you can, again, feel free to use it as a resource. Call us at the office at 633-1515. Let's go out to Sal in Buffalo, who's been patiently waiting. Sal, you are live with the Financial Guys on WBEN. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon. I understand you're up against time constraints, so I'm going to abbreviate. I'm going to get to a hypothesis that I don't hear much about from people.
Okay.
Market investor. The FANGs are fairly heavily overweighted in the NASDAQ composite and the Qs. I've never seen companies behave as politically as they do, both covertly and overtly toward a significant percentage of the investing population, the conservatives. To what extent over time do you think that is beginning to take its toll on their business models? You got a lot of callers. I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks, Sal. What a great question. That is really, I would put that up there as one of the best questions I've had in the last bunch of weeks. So thanks for the call, Sal. I appreciate it. John, you want to tackle that, or you want me to take a swing at it?
I'll jump in on that because it frustrates me tremendously to listen. Some of these people have the power of a CEO position of a company like these FANG stocks, and they're very vocal. And some of the stocks I don't own because of that. I will be honest. And you know, it isn't just about investing. You have to agree with the team you're investing with, and you have to be on the same page, or it doesn't work.
Yeah, to highlight that point, you know, when Facebook started to, you know, openly come out and say, we're going to now, you know, be the arbiter of what is fake news and what isn't, and then you find out that they're selling our data and things like that. I told Dave, sell it. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I think the run is over. Now, it went up a little bit more since that point, but then now has rolled over and has come down below from where we sold it. And I do think that in the long term, it is going to hurt, you know, business models like that. I said Twitter is another great example of this, Sal. If Twitter doesn't get their head out of their behind, there won't be a Twitter. It will be gone because people are just going to get fed up. They took James Woods, probably one of the biggest and most known accounts, one of the best accounts in my opinion on Twitter. They took him out for a week for nothing. for what was really just ridiculous. And so, you know, they keep stuff like that up, and they're going to drive people right off their platform to the point they say, you know what, this isn't worth it. I'll go do something else with my time, or I'll join a different platform. Where I think these stocks become vulnerable is when a new player emerges that potentially has a better or a different offering, or a similar offering, I should say, that can replace some of these folks, like Zuckerberg or Jack, whatever his name is, Jack Dorsey, on the Twitter side. So I do agree with you, Sal, and I think it was an absolutely fantastic question. So thank you for the call. Let's stick with the phones. We'll go to Rob in Lockport. Rob, you are live on the Financial Guys program. How are you?
Real good. Hey, let's say you got a long established, like a blue chip stock that's done well and it has highs and lows in the market. What would be, now it's probably quite a few, but what would be the trigger for buying low on that stock rather than just maintaining? Would that be something that would happen more in a value fund?
That's a great question. Mark, you want to take this one? Because you do something kind of different, which is, I won't get into the strategy for lack of time, but a covered put strategy where you're actually looking to buy stocks that are being put to you when the market is down. So maybe you can
Right. One
question.
Of the things I do is in advance, I try and pick prices of where I'm going to try and buy securities, and I get paid while I wait. In your case, I think you have, I mean, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but oftentimes a quick look at a chart will tell you where the levels should be, and maybe a quick look at the PE and find out what might be an attractive level to get back in. A rule of thumb I use with people, if they have, say, the spiders or an index fund, is maybe every time it pulls back 5%, you buy a little bit more. And if it pulls back another 5%, you buy a little more. And if you listen to the words of Warren Buffett or any of these people, over time, you're going to do really, really well.
Mark, thank you so much. That's a great way to end it. And Rob, thank you so much for your call. It's a great question. I think for me personally, you know, for me deciding on where to add the positions, I look at a lot of the charts and certain levels. So thank you for that call. We certainly appreciate it. John, thank you so much for joining us as well. I appreciate your time in studio with us.
Sure, Glenn.
Have a terrific weekend. Mark, thank you.
Okay, nice to meet you, John.
Appreciate you breaking it in on the air here, which is great. Thanks. And don't forget Medicare Mondays, each and every Monday. The Medicare season, it starts just in 2 days. So you can now start taking applications and getting your house in order. So if you need us throughout the week, folks, whether it be, you know, investment planning, retirement planning, estate planning, Medicare planning, or anything else like that, anyone has to come with you and your money, or has to do with you and your money, or your insurance, we can certainly, I think we have the right team to help you. So use us as a resource. 633-1515, again, 633-1515. On behalf of Mike Lomas, I'm Glenn Wiggle. We're the Financial Guys. We'll see you next week right here on News Radio 930 WBEN.